This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You're listening to Get Started Investing, a production of Equity Mates Media. This series is everything you need to get started on your investing journey.
You don't need a lot of brains in this business. Investing in yourself is the best thing you can do. Anything that improves your own
now
talent.
Now you can get rich very young just by having an idea.
I mean, I can buy anything I want, basically, but I can't buy time.
Welcome back to Get Started Investing, where this summer we're taking a journey to financial freedom supported by CommSec, the home of investing. Over six episodes, we'll be talking about the practical steps that you can take today to set yourself up for the ultimate goal, FIRE, financial independence, retiring early. So if you're enjoying your summer break or dreading heading back to work, join us as we take the steps today to ensure that we can build the life we want into the future. My name is Bryce, and for the final episode in this series, as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Very excited for this episode. In some of our previous episodes in this six-part series, we mentioned that FIRE is a little bit controversial. I think everyone can agree with the first half of the acronym, financial independence.
Yeah.
Where it gets controversial is the second half, retire early. One thing that we saw on our Instagram is that if people are pursuing FIRE, they should find a job that they like, which, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with, but to each their own. And I think for a lot of people, the idea of retiring early is incredibly motivating. And if that's what gets you on the right path and making the right decisions.
So be it.
Yeah. But this episode, we're really going to drill down on FIRE, the full acronym, and talk about what it means to us and also the different ways that it sort of, I guess, can manifest, like the different ways that you can sort of approach your money as you get closer and closer to that financial independence goal.
Yes. I sense we have a bit of a fiery episode coming up.
Well, it's going to be from you, not from me.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Well, having the right support on your journey is important, which is why we're proud to partner with CommSec for this series. Investing in building wealth is a lifelong journey, as we've been discussing in this series. Keep up to date with what impacts your investments through CommSec's Investing Hub. You can get to grips with investing basics, learn about different global markets, or find information and research on stocks and ETFs. Get $0 brokerage for your first 10 trades for Australian markets when you sign up. Visit commsec.com.au for more. CommSec T's and C's and other fees and charges apply.
Now, before we get started, a reminder that while we are licensed, we are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Any information on this show is for education and entertainment purposes only. Any advice is general.
All right, Ren. Well, with that said, it's our last episode. What are we going to be unpacking today?
All right, Bryce. Well, would you believe it? We are at the sixth and final episode of our 2024 summer series and the sixth and final step of our journey to financial independence. We are talking about what we do when we put it all together and we achieve what we've set out to achieve. We've got FIRE, financial independence, retire early. That is the goal for so many people listening. And even if it's not about retiring early, the financial independence part, having the choice and being able to design the life you want is really, I think, why most people invest. So what are we going to talk about in this episode? We're going to talk about why so many people want to achieve FIRE and I guess how it can mean different things to different people. Most important question, how do you know when you're there? Let's say we've rolled up all the lessons from the first five episodes, we've built the habits, we're boosting our income, we're saving more and we're investing it. How do we know when we've made it?
Great question.
Oh, that's only the second thing we're going to learn. We've got more to go. Then we're going to talk about the different ways to calculate your FIRE number.
Yep.
And then finally, we're going to talk about what to do in different stages of life. I.e., does FIRE factor in children and school fees?
Yeah, can't wait for that bit because that's a question I always have for FIRE people.
Now, we're not on this journey alone. There are thousands of people like you, like us, listening to Get Started Investing and taking similar steps on the journey to financial independence.
Hey, Equity Mates. So, something I've implemented in my own financial life. Well, obviously, developing better habits around saving and having the ability to save as my income has grown, and trying to have some discipline around that. But also things like utilizing financial instruments that are available in intelligent ways. So I've got a couple of pretty generous credit cards that I get great value from. I try and purchase just about everything on them, and I pay them off monthly, so there's no interest, and reap pretty significant rewards through the year in terms of frequent flyer points and other benefits and things that I can then leverage back into, you know, personal rewards in terms of holidays and that kind of thing. So that's been a big and very useful part of my own personal financial strategy.
Hey, Equity Mates. One of the big things that I've implemented kind of across my financial journey that really makes me feel a whole lot better about my finances is just having automated payments for all of my bills. When I was younger, I didn't do that. I kind of trusted that I'd remember and I'd end up paying, you know, late fees and stuff like that. So yeah, the automated payments, it's been a game changer for me.
So Bryce, let's start with the biggest question. Why FIRE? Like, why is this something that so many people are chasing?
FIRE essentially leads to the ability to live the way you want. That's how people chasing FIRE kind of communicate. They're like, I'm going to hit a level of financial independence where I don't need to rely on anyone to pay me and I can live how I want.
Yeah, look, I think it's all about people having choice. I think you can really feel quite constrained, I guess, and being forced to work a job that you may not want to work, or, you know, not being able to live the life that you want to live. And as much as it sucks to say, like, money is an enabler. Money, you know, money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you choice. And often having choice might make you happier. So I think, you know, that there's the best way that you can set yourself up to have choice is to make the right money decisions when you're young, you know, saving, investing, everything that we've spoken about. And some people want to retire early and, you know, lie on the beach when they're 40 and not work another day in their life. But I don't think that's most people. I think most people want to work a job that they like with the people they enjoy being around for a cause that they're passionate about. And I think having choice allows you to do that.
Mm, absolutely.
It allows you to tell a bad boss to get stuffed.
Well, yeah, if you don't want to work there anymore.
Well, yeah.
So how do we know when we're there, Ren? Because as the name suggests, FIRE, financial independence, retire early, you obviously need to, in its truest form, build enough wealth and assets so that you can retire.
Yeah. So the FIRE movement has a rule of 25. And basically what they say is calculate your annual expenses, times it by 25, and that's your FIRE number. That's the number that you need to retire. Now, that is just a new branding on an old rule, because the rule of 25 is just an inversion of a classic financial advisor and financial planning rule, the 4% rule.
Yeah.
And the 4% rule basically says that you can safely withdraw an amount equal to 4% of your retirement savings, I think adjusted for inflation, and you won't run out of money for 30 years. And so that's the rule of four, or the 4% rule. So I guess before we get into it, because there's some things I want to unpick there, but like to just not jump into it too quickly, I guess if we're thinking about how those apply, if we want to figure out how much money we need to retire, it's what's our annual expenses? You would probably actually know what yours is, excluding mortgage.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, let's call it $50,000 a year.
Call it that, yeah.
And then you times that by 25, and then that's your FIRE number. So 1.25 mil. Simple.
That's it. What I think the challenge there is that it's a moment in time number. And so do people then, next year when my expenses go up, go, oh, got to increase my FIRE number to 25 times.
Why are your expenses going up next year though?
Inflation. Like, or I get a mortgage,
No. Well, I think this is the key thing. Like, your FIRE number has to factor in, excluding inflation for now, it has to factor in everything. Like, you can't...
That's what I'm saying. Last year, I didn't have a mortgage. My FIRE number would have been X.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
just because I get a mortgage doesn't mean I don't want to achieve FIRE.
No, no. I think you're maybe being a little bit deliberately... If you know that you're going to get a mortgage, that is part of your annual expenses, even if you don't have it this year, but you know you're going
to
get it.
What? You're saying I have to anticipate my annual expenses for the next 30 years?
Yes.
No, that's not how people do it, though.
It is, bro. It's not like they're like, oh, I live at home with my parents and I don't pay for food or rent, so I'm going to calculate my FIRE number based on this year.
So you reckon,
they're like
you
what
need
is
to
my
make a
life,
prediction.
What is my life? What is the life I want to look like? What is that going to cost? And then that's their annual expenses number.
Yeah. So you want to say, what is Bryce's life going to look like in 30 years?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I think the thing is, as you...
You get that so wrong.
Yeah, you do.
You would get that so wrong.
You do. Yeah. And so like most... This is what retirement planning is, though. It's like making your best approximation.
Yeah, sure. But your retirement planning is done at a little bit of a later stage in life than when most FIRE people are kicking around. 18-year-olds saying they're on their journey to FIRE.
No. Yeah. But I guess the thing is like the 18-year-old thinks, all right, what's my expenses going to look like when I'm 50? And they might say, I'm going to need 60 grand in annual expenses and therefore my FIRE number is 1.5 million.
Yeah.
And then they'll start working towards number.
Of course,
and they'll grow up and they'll change and they'll you
sack
know,
FIRE.
they'll have but they'll the FIRE number can change as well.
Yeah, I know, absolutely.
Yeah. Being an 18-year-old saying I want to get to $1.5 million is a good place to start.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Okay, it just sounded like you're throwing a lot of shade.
I do throw shade. Yeah, yeah.
But we're not locking that 18-year-old into saying, you told us 60 grand a year was how much you're going to live off. Don't spend a penny more.
No, I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's one gripe with this FIRE number calculator. Another one I have is just to be really careful around duration risk. So the 4% rule is the financial planning rule that says you won't run out of money over a 30-year period if you draw down 4% or less of your retirement savings. Key thing I said there, over a 30-year period. It's like the classic retire at 65, die at 95 sort of time frame thinking. If you're chasing FIRE and you want to retire as early as possible, and you know, we've spoken to people who are trying to retire in their late 30s and they're, you know, trying to save 70% of their income and they're eating beans and rice all through their 30s because they want to get to their FIRE number by the time they're 38. That 4% rule, or you flip it around and make it a rule of 25, that's been back tested on a 30-year period. Mm. Whereas your money needs to last a lot more than 30 years. Mm. So like the actual safe level of drawdown wouldn't be 4%. It might be like 2% and that might last you 50 years. And therefore your rule of 25 should actually be a rule of 50.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. Yeah. Which is why it's I reckon it's a lot hard. It is a lot harder than you think to actually
definitely
get this number.
Yeah.
The behavior is the important part here.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about different stages of life as well, kids and all of that.
Don't get me started.
But I think the other challenge when you're calculating your FIRE number, your financial independence number, is it really assumes you've got housing sorted. I think as soon as, like in theory, you could have mortgage repayments as part of your cost. But I mean, your FIRE number blows out, like rough maths. Let's say you say $60,000 in annual expenses. That means your FIRE number is 1.5 million. The average mortgage in Sydney is about 5 grand a month. And so that's 60 grand a year. So all of a sudden your FIRE number doubles, 120 grand times 25, 3 million FIRE number. Like that becomes a lot less achievable.
Well, particularly if you're also paying the mortgage to get there.
Yeah.
Like. The key here is you want to be building, the key here is you want to be building assets that are going to, liquid assets that you can draw down on and be paid.
Yeah.
If you're saying, my life when I'm 50 looks like this, and this is how much I need, sweet, I'm going to do this. If you then also assume between now and 50 you're going to buy a house and pay it off, you're going to need serious amounts of free cash flow to build wealth outside of your house to then fund that life stage.
So I think with some clear caveats, the calculating a FIRE number is a good approximation. It's a good starting point with the three key caveats. First one that you were talking about, Bryce, around it's really hard to predict your future expenses and what you're going to want and what you're going to need. Secondly, that you've got to think about duration, that this rule has really been built off a 30-year retirement and a lot of people are thinking about a lot longer than that. And then thirdly, thinking about housing, and this is really about having this FIRE number X your housing wealth. So it's not good enough to say I've got a $1.5 million house that is mortgage free.
Well, that's
because it's not liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about having like the $1.5 million outside of the house that you've paid off, which makes it a lot more daunting.
Yeah.
So with those clear caveats in mind, it's a pretty good approximation. What's your FIRE number?
I don't have a FIRE number, Ren. I think it's dangerous.
You think it's dangerous?
Yeah.
For any more reasons than we've just spoken about, or?
I think you said it earlier in one of the episodes. It's just like building the habits of the millionaire next door and just generally aiming for a financially secure stage of life is going to get you there. I think having a number puts so much unnecessary pressure, mental pressure on you. It's like it will dictate then how you actually enjoy your life between now and you hitting that number. Oh, going on this holiday is going to, I know people who do this. On my holiday is going to extend me hitting my number by 6 months, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, this is coming out of my FIRE number. And it is fine if that's how you want to live your life. More than fine. But like, there's a lot of time between now and when you're 50. And so I think I don't want that stress, like, or sort of like unnecessary burden and commitment to yourself that you're going to hit your number. And if you don't, you're not financially independent.
Yeah.
You'd probably hit financial independence well before then. So anyway, I'm not shitting it, but I think this whole series has been leading to like the journey to financial freedom. And it's not about, the conclusion is not you need a number. The conclusion is the behavior that we've spoken about throughout this and getting in early and just getting good habits.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm just thinking about if every spending decision you thought about as a trade-off in terms of length of time you had to keep working, like, oh, if I buy this car, that's going to be another 2 years of work.
Kill you.
Or like, oh, if I go to this wedding, this out-of-city wedding, it's going to be another 6 weeks of work.
Mm.
And then you're at the weekend away or at the wedding or whatever, and all you're thinking about is like, is this worth an extra six weeks of work? Like, all of a sudden, everything is a explicit trade-off in your mind.
Or like, oh, damn it, we had a kid. my FIRE number's 14 extended.
14 more years of work.
My FIRE number's extended. Damn it. It's like, do you really want that? Like,
yeah, true.
So, I can't remember what the question was. Wait, there, but
it was, do you have a FIRE number?
Oh, yeah. So, no.
Yeah.
No. But I have an ambition and an objective to get to the same outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that makes sense. There's no marker on the wall for me. I have larger sort of things, which is I want to build, you know, the house and those sorts of things. Yeah. So, do you?
Directionally. So, in the book we wrote about Don't Stress, Just Invest, wherever good books are sold, we wrote about some of the numbers that the retirement organizations put up on the wall and say, this is the amount of money you need for a comfortable retirement if you're in Australia, if you're in America, if you're single, if you're a couple, whatever. And for me, like, the number in my mind is get to a million, you're going to be in a good place. And then it's like, you know, some, you know, we were speaking here about some people's FIRE number being 1.5 million, or maybe you need more, or some retirement organizations think it's a lot less. But obviously it'll grow as inflation grows and all of that. And like, for me, there's so much uncertainty about how I will be living, you know, where I'll be living, all of that stuff. And so I think, you know, a lot of your points around fine numbers being dangerous for that reason, like I agree with in principle. But for me, it's like directionally, I want to get to 1 million.
Outside of super?
Sure.
Well, I guess because...
I honestly don't really factor super in as an asset.
Because the reason I say that is because, like, we are fortunate to have had super from day one when we're eligible. Our parents not so. Like, we will have that in our superannuation.
Yeah, every Australian...
Hands down.
That works throughout their career will have $1 million by the time they retire. So if people think I'm out of touch by saying 1 million, it's like, speak to me in 40 years. But, yeah, I don't have a number that I'm desperately going towards. And I also don't have it's not for me a trigger point. It's not like get to the number,
yeah,
tell my boss to fuck, which would be tough because we work for ourselves, and then, you know, go sit on a beach. It's like, that would be a nice number to have.
Now, before we discuss the different ways of calculating your FIRE number, we want to say a massive thank you for CommSec for the support of this series. They are the home of investing and they give you knowledge at your fingertips. Their educational content helps break down the things that can impact your money and investments. Get $0 brokerage on your first 10 trades for Australian markets when you sign up. Visit comsec.com.au. CommSec T's and C's and other fees and charges apply.
Hey, Equity Mates. The big one for me is, so I grew up in the outer suburbs and so much time and so much money was spent on commuting, public transport, petrol, parking, all that sort of stuff. But you save so much, you know, I ride my bike or I walk everywhere I need to go, basically. So that's thousands of dollars a year in terms of parking and in terms of that sort of thing. Shopping habits as well, like we go to Cheaper by Miles, which is it's a chain that sells products that are sort of near the use-by date or excess stock at heavily reduced prices. So we'll go there first, and then anything we can't get there, we'll go to a regular supermarket.
Hey, Equity Mate. The biggest shift has been that when I was first out in the world, I just really wanted everything to be cheap and free, and it sort of had to be because my income was so low. But I would try and do everything myself the long way rather than the way that made sense in terms of the rest of my well-being. And so now I think when I can afford it, if I can afford to pay someone for their expertise, I would much sooner do that. So if I need to fix my shower and I also have 1 million other priorities in the week, I would try and pay them and spend like 6 hours watching a YouTube video trying to learn.
Hey, Equity Mates. For me, not spending every week on disposables or things that I'll be throwing out within a year, but trying to look for long-term quality in items and saving for them. And big purchases, but rarely.
Welcome back to our Get Started Investing Summer Series. Over the past 6 episodes, we have been taking a journey to financial independence. And in this 6th and final episode, we've been talking about a lot of people's ultimate objective when it comes to financial independence, which is retiring early. That is the acronym Financial Independence Retire Early, or FIRE, you might see. And we're talking about, well, I mean, Bryce has told us why he thinks it's a dangerous movement before the break. So we're living dangerously in this episode. But, you know, like we've spoken about how some people calculate what that number is, that financial independence number, and some of the caveats are around that. I think like what financial independence can be and what it looks like can be quite different for different people. And there are probably some sort of key buckets that the FIRE movement talk about. So I think the classic FIRE is just...
beans and rice.
Well, yeah, less about how you get there. Because I think that this whole series we've spoken about how you get there, it's more like what you do once you're there.
Mm.
And like the classic FIRE is you quit your job and you're retired. You do what retirees do. You sit on a beach. You drive around in a caravan. What else do retirees do?
Golf. Bowls.
That actually sounds really nice. Drink. So that's a classic FIRE. I think another FIRE that maybe will resonate with people a bit more is labeled barista FIRE.
Okay. What's barista FIRE?
So it's for people who want to like save more and build up that financial independence so that they can work less in later life. The goal isn't to completely retire at an early age. You know, people want to work at less demanding jobs, perhaps part-time jobs. Whoever labeled it Barista Fire, I don't think has done a lot of work in cafes.
Yes.
Because I can say as someone who's done who did hospitality when they were at uni, it's certainly not less demanding or the stress-free, relaxing job that this person might think. But, you know, this is, you know, if people want to work in the not-for-profit sector or, you know, just jobs that maybe don't pay as much, but want to support the lifestyle that they want, they pursue this form of, you know, call it Barista Fire, where they work really hard and they build good money habits and they build a nest egg so then they can draw that down slowly while still working a job that pays less or that working a job but they don't work full time. Yeah.
Barista Fire, nice. So the next one is Coast Fire, and this is where you have enough invested or saved that even without additional contributions, your portfolio will grow to support you in retirement. And then these people typically still work, but really only to cover their current living expenses and then use their savings to coast into retirement.
And so if you think about that, like once you know, when we're working, we're putting money away every paycheck into our investment account. But once we stop putting money away, in theory, well, over the long term, it'll still grow at like 8% a year. And so if your FIRE number's 1.5 million, if you get to sort of 1.2,
grow into it,
all of a sudden you can just, coast. You can get that compounding effect. And then all of a sudden, all that extra money, all the extra hours you were working to put money away as investing is all of a sudden your free time.
Yeah.
Golf,
Coast Fire, how good.
Yeah.
And then the final one, Ren, Fat Fire. This is where you want to ensure that you can afford the finer things in retirement. And Fat Fire might be for you if...
I think Fat Fire is for you.
Sure, I'll take that. It involves earning as much as possible and saving as much as possible so that you don't have to live frugally in retirement. Who wants to live frugally in retirement?
Yeah, I didn't mean that as an insult. I just mean that you seem to rail against the...
This is my bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is somewhat an interesting personality trait, because on one hand, you are like quite meticulous in your like budgeting and cost controls. But then on the other hand, you really enjoy the finer things in life and don't like the idea of like a beans and rice existence or anything. So it's
Do you like the idea of beans and rice existence?
No, but you wouldn't call me meticulous and particularly cost focused.
No, but I guess it's they work together.
Yeah, I guess the way you square that circle is you control your costs where they can be controlled so you can afford the finer things that you want to enjoy.
Yeah, or not. Yeah, exactly. Not have to live frugally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you still do live frugally because you still make Ham take things out of the shopping basket.
Not true.
Because you're going over your shopping
basket. Not true. Anyway. So those are the buckets for FIRE. Now, it's important to consider life stages because as we said at the top of the show, if you are in the FIRE movement and you're chasing down a number, your life is going to change between that number arriving.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to factor it in. Well, you should be factoring it in or trying to as you progress. Have kids, school fees. Like all of these things are going to take away from your ability to try and get to that number as fast as possible. So factoring those in, I don't know how you do it, is important.
Well, I think it's unfair to say that everyone who supports the FIRE movement just hasn't thought about, oh, kids are expensive. Like, they obviously know that that is a big cost and that's coming.
Mm. But how do you factor that? What would you put?
Well, I think for a lot of people, what it would be is like, the reason that I'm being so frugal before I have kids is because that's the time where you can really give yourself a head start. And then you can perhaps coast, you can massively, you sort of, map it out on your FIRE calculator or whatever, you massively reduce the amount that you're investing, saving and investing when you've got expenses like kids. But the foundation that you've built should hold you in good stead.
Yeah? It'll just extend it.
Well, yeah, of course it will extend it. Yeah. And, you know, like I'm sure there are FIRE people that would make decisions around how many kids they want to have based on...
Definitely, yeah.
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 But I mean... when we were researching for this episode, when I was Googling like FIRE with kids, there are a lot of FIRE blogs out there
how to do it with kids, and they
are very big advocates for, you know, like, we're teaching our kids good money habits and stuff like that. Maybe it's quite similar to your upbringing.
Maybe
they're sending their kids out to sell pebbles on the street, but rather than the kid pocketing that money, they put that in an investment account.
Yes. Well, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it all boils down to the same thing, which is fundamentally the habits that this drives are all good.
So I've just realized that the pebble story was in the last episode. So if people have just joined us for this episode, that will make no sense.
Well, go back to episode 5 and have a listen.
But sorry, you're right. The habits.
Yes, it's the habits here. Whatever number you have, or if you don't have a number, or you're just loosely aiming to get to a point where you feel like you can financially rely on your own assets rather than a paycheck from your job. Like, the whole point of this series is about the journey to get there.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, how we should probably close out this whole thing is a reminder that, you know, you don't have to bucket yourself into one of these FIRE buckets. You don't have to sit down and do the maths and find a number. If all you're trying to do now is find the brokerage platform or sort your budget out or whatever it may be, those are the appropriate steps to take to get to a level of financial independence.
The journey to financial independence doesn't end in the same destination, but it all begins with the same few steps.
Yes.
Saving more than you're spending, taking those savings and putting them to work, investing, giving yourself time, and we mean decades of time, to continue putting money away and letting that investment grow. And that's about it.
That's it. Wait.
As I was saying it, I was trying to think, what else do I need to say here? But
that's it.
That's it.
That's it. Think about diversified options that we've spoken about, low-cost indexes, apps that allow you to get in for low-dollar amounts, and you're well on your way.
And then as you go on this journey to financial independence, the best thing you can do to accelerate that journey isn't finding crazy exotic investment opportunities. It's just finding ways to save more and then finding ways to put more of that into the market. Done.
Right.
Next question. See you in 2025. I think in terms of then what you should invest in, well, that's what we've got the rest of the year on this podcast to talk about. Now, Bryce, for the final time as we wrap up this 6-part series and take the final steps on our journey to financial independence, we want to say a massive thanks to CommSec for supporting this series. Hopefully together we've shown a path to how you can tap into the world of investing and build wealth over the long term. CommSec provide all the support, information, and resources you need to build your confidence and make the right money moves. Sign up today to get $0 brokerage on your first 10 trades for Aussie markets and invest with as little as $50 through the CommBank app. Visit combank.com.au for more. CommSec T's and C's and other fees and charges apply.
Well, that brings us to the end of our 6-part journey to financial freedom. It's been an awesome series. Next week, we will be back with regular programming as we answer the most common money and investing questions. If you have a question for us, send it through to ask@equitymates.com and we'll make sure it gets on the list. Thanks for the support as always. We'll be back next week.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services License 540697.